Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Halloween is a great time for all the family, children in particular, but not so much for our family pets, particularly cats and dogs. And vet Niamh Fagan is here to tell us how best to help them when the bangers and the fireworks are going off, which will be pretty soon. I know we're a bit away, but they tend to start earlier and earlier. Niamh, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Claire. Thanks for having me.
It is a time of the year where we have to be mindful of the impact that all of this is going to have on our pets, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes our pets can be forgotten in busy times and times of excitement, similar to New Year's Eve. It's this very similar type of activity that would be happening. So I suppose with Halloween, the lead up to Halloween as well is what's important. It's not just actual night. You see bangers and fireworks and all those type of things going off. So noise is a very a big factor with pets around this time. So I suppose from a vet's perspective, what we would see that impacts people's pets mostly is the noise, so stress and anxiety around that, eating foods that kind of might be lying around, so sweets and things like that, costumes will be lying around and decorations, so possibly eating those type of things that they shouldn't be eating, or burns from candles and all that kind of thing. And then pets also going missing is a big thing, particularly with cats. The noise scares them and they can run off and, you know, you don't see them then for a little while.
I wondered, I remember thinking about this last year, you'd often hear, if you're in an urban area, sirens, you know, at all times of the year. And that doesn't seem to bother them as much as the fireworks. Do we know why that is? Is it because it's sustained and regular?
So I would imagine that that is what the case is. So this is what behaviourists will recommend, is desensitising your pets to these firework noises, or even the doorbell ringing. The doorbell will be ringing all night with children trick-or-treating. So it's a noise that's out of the routine. It's out of the normal and it's sudden. It's really scary. So and that is what we see as the issue. It's a change of routine for our pets. They're in their safe home. They're happy. The day-to-day is all the exact same. And then suddenly everything's uplifted and there's people coming into the house and there's noise. It's all very just stressful and new. Mm-hmm. So it's desensitising your pets. That's one thing that we would recommend. Trying to start early on, particularly if you have a young pet, so a young cat or dog. Dogs particularly will be kind of take this on better. It's not too late now to start, and particularly with New Year's Eve as well. So it's maybe having firework noises on the TV or on your phone from YouTube or something like that. Having them at a low level when your dog is nice and relaxed, treating them, rewarding that nice calm behaviour and building it up then louder and louder. The same with the doorbell. Ringing it, having someone at the door, and when your dog's nice and calm and no stress, no barking or running up and down the hall, rewarding that behaviour. It's very time consuming. It takes a while, takes a lot of work, but it is worth it. And dogs are very clever. They do, you know, respond to this type of desensitisation.
And tell me, when the cats go missing, they're running to hide, are they, from the noise? And then is it not easy? Because cats are good at finding their way back, aren't they?
They are, but sometimes they get spooked. You know, it's very sad, but unfortunately, road traffic accidents with cats is very common. So they can get spooked, they can run out onto roads. And just with the fear as well, sometimes we just do see that they go missing. It's not regulation to have your cat microchipped. So a lot of the time, cats aren't microchipped, and then trying to find them their way back can be difficult. So I would recommend at Halloween, particularly just remembering your pet, keeping them in a safe room, closed windows, maybe having some white noise on in the background, their toys, food around, and just be mindful of where they are and kind of what they're doing.
Okay, yeah. I have some great questions coming in for you. And this one is more about animal behaviour, but I know you're interested in this. I'm going to ask you what you think is going on here. So our listener is the main person in the house with the dog. I'm at home all day with him and I look after him. He's glued to me all day. But then in the evenings, my partner comes home and person number one is forgotten. So he's fixated on this person's partner. And I mean fixated. He sits and stares at him all evening. He goes crazy following him if he leaves the room. What do you think is going on?
So it's a funny one. It depends on many things, but I reckon the second individual, the favourite individual, is probably treating this dog somehow. He's favourite for a reason. So I reckon he's probably feeding him, or he gives him treats from the couch or from his plate or whatever situation he's in.
Do you not think dogs can have favourite people?
they do. I have this problem at home as well. So unfortunately, I can't find a way around it. You know, it is what it is. They have their own personalities. They're attracted to different people for different reasons. I just would remain kind to your dog and you can't really get around it.
The dog is saying to you, I'll put up with you for the day and you're grand. Yeah. But once he comes home, you're finished.
Yeah,
you're gone.
Plan B. Yeah. What you'll do for now.
Just, they're very honest, aren't they?
Yeah. Dogs. You don't want to be sensitive. Absolutely.
This next one is about a 14-year-old Westie called Ollie, who's developed a cough over the last couple of weeks. When we pick him up and put him down, he coughs, and we're worried it's Westie lung disease. Could that be the case? Now, what is Westie lung disease? Have you heard of that, obviously?
Yeah, Westie lung disease is a genetic condition that Westies get. It's fibrosis of the lungs. So it restricts the lung movement. They can't expand as kind of elasticated as you would want them to be. It happens generally with age, and it is a progressive disease. So it's very difficult to stop it, but we can slow it down. So I would definitely recommend getting those lungs checked out. An x-ray can help diagnose this as well. And there is treatments to help slow it down, as I said.
So you can make life more comfortable
for Ollie. You absolutely
can
manage it, yes.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is about a Bernese Mountain Dog, a gorgeous dog, aren't they? They're lovely.
Yeah.
So this one has been scratching a lot lately. There's no obvious irritation on her skin apart from one small bit of redness, which I've treated with Isoderm, but she seems to be itching a lot more than normal. She doesn't appear to have fleas or anything in her fur. Can you give me some advice, please?
Yeah. So the one isolated spot could be related to this. Maybe she's been over scratching in that area, but if she's itchy overall, there's no fleas. You've treated for parasites as well. So I'd recommend always treating that as a baseline, getting the product from your vets ideally. But we're probably looking at some form of an allergy. It's called ATP. So it could be a food allergy or an environmental allergy. It sounds like it's coming from the inside out rather than just one area where she's rubbed off maybe a certain plant and it's itching now. If it's all over, it's probably an allergy. And I would recommend working that up and trying to find out what that allergy is rather than treating it with medication, especially if it's a young dog as well.
And that's hard work, isn't it? Because you've got to eliminate things and see what the reaction is. So it takes time.
Yeah. So your vet will have a conversation with you about the patterns, history. Is it kind of more intense in the summer? Is it all year long? Kind of what is the pattern history here? And we can try and narrow it down that way. But you will more than likely have to do a food trial. And that's,
it can be tricky. Time consuming. Yeah. But worth it in the end if you can solve the problem or find out what's causing it. And you can do allergy tests as well, can't you?
You can. But sometimes dogs will have food and environmental allergies. And these allergy tests don't really test for food. So you will more than likely have to do that food trial as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A feral orange cat has been in this house for about 5 years. He's neutered. We had him checked out with the vet and everything is good. He cries all the time. It's very upsetting. He loves a cuddle. Now, feral but loves a cuddle. I assume that this is a cat that they can handle, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And they just want to know what else we can do to help him. Why might he be crying all the time?
Mm-hmm. So reasons why cats might cry is one, behavioural, looking for attention. The second thing would be they have thyroid issues, and that can be matched with vocalisation. However, you usually will see that from 6 years onwards. Now he's getting close to that age. I would recommend a blood test. Other symptoms for that would be maybe weight loss and drinking a lot. So it's hyperthyroidism we typically see in cats.
Mm-hmm.
He might be hungry. Another thing could be possibly worms, making sure he's wormed. So that he might see weight loss with that as well. So it's trying to match the symptoms up, the vocalisation up with other symptoms. If there's anything there, if there's not, it could be behavioural and he's attention, look for attention.
So if he has worms, he's hungry and he's crying. That could be possible.
Yeah, it would be common,
Right, it's interesting. Okay, so they're going to have to catch him and bring him to the vet.
Yes, I would say a blood test or wormer at minimum would be best to rule these two out.
Okay, now our next one and our final one is about a lurcher who's 5, who's had the same diet since being a pup. She had a bout of pancreatitis 2 years ago. Since then, has constantly gotten bouts of vomiting. Most days she eats her food, then goes outside and eats so much grass that she gets sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also getting sick overnight in her bed. She's not lethargic. She's not losing weight. She has been wormed. They're wondering, would it be linked to her diet? She's fed very good quality food, or is it the grass?
Yeah, it could be linked to her diet. And just because it's good quality, it doesn't mean that it suits her. So especially if she has had pancreatitis 2 years ago, I think you said, that's acute pancreatitis, when you get a flare up suddenly. But that can lead into chronic pancreatitis. So it's kind of like a low-grade pancreatitis. Pancreatitis is inflammation of the pancreas, which breaks down fat in the body. So she should really be on a low-fat diet. that's what you'd want to start her on. So you might be giving her really good quality food, but if it's high in fat, it's going to upset her. So I would say look at putting her on a low fat diet, and you can get tests for pancreatitis as well. So I maybe get that checked.
Okay.
But I would look at changing her food, definitely.
Right. So, and the eating of grass, Niamh, what's going on there? Yeah. I have a dog who eats grass.
Yes. Yes. And so do I. It can be behavioural. Especially it can be behavioural. Sometimes if you're out and the grass is wet as well, they could be licking the water off it. It can be associated with nausea. But if it's all the time and your dog is relatively healthy otherwise, I wouldn't look into it too much, and it's probably behavioural.
Don't worry about it. They just like eating grass.
Yeah.
This one from the United States. Hello. My colleague's breeder suggested making microwave popcorn in the weeks before the 4th of July here in the USA. It totally works. Ah, to avoid eating other things.
Yes,
can
but maybe
the
popping, noise might be.
The noise. Yeah. I get it. That took me a while. Yeah. I understand. Yes. Yeah. So the popping noise.
Yeah, it's just, it adds in. It is absolutely adds into the desensitization. So anything like that, any sudden noises that you can just slowly introduce your pet to will really help build their confidence and just make them kind of happy, calm pets. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want them to eat the popcorn though,
No, we don't. Especially if it's salted or butter. Absolutely not. Yeah. We don't want to see that.
That's so unfair, isn't it? You can listen to it. You can smell it, but you cannot eat it. Yeah. Thank you so much to Mary, who is in the United States. And Niamh, thank you very much for coming as well. That's vet Niamh Fagan. Now, coming up next, we're going to be talking about retrofitting. Still time to get your questions in. You can WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.